each year, the government would allocate CO2 credits, with penalties to those who exceed the allotted energy use. California is considering mandating the implementation of programmable communicating thermostats, or PCTs, in all new homes and new heating air conditioning units. The devices allow power authorities to remotely set the air conditioning or heat levels in your home to a temperature they deem appropriate. And the EPA recently issued an advance notice of proposed rulemaking respecting greenhouse gas emissions from cars and stationary sources, which could one day include regulating and/or taxing methane emissions from livestock. But the coming invasion of the home and workplace, the restriction on individual liberty, independence, and mobility, and the deconstruction of America's economic system and impoverishing of the citizenry are justified in the name of a long and growing roster of preposterous assertions that must be listed to be believed. Dr. John Brignell, retired professor of industrial instrumentation at the University of Southampton in Britain, composed a list of alarmist claims in news reports that man-made global warming causes or has caused. Acne, agricultural land increase, Afghan poppies destroyed, Africa devastated, African aid threatened, Africa in conflict, aggressive weeds, air pressure changes, Alaska reshaped, allergies increase, Alps melting, Amazon a desert, American dream end, amphibians breeding earlier, or not, anaphylactic reactions to bee stings, ancient forests dramatically changed, animals head for the hills, Antarctic ice grows, Antarctic ice shrinks, Antarctic sea life at risk, anxiety treatment, algal blooms, archaeological sites threatened, Arctic bogs melt, Arctic in bloom, Arctic ice free, Arctic lakes disappear, Arctic tundra to burn, Atlantic less salty, Atlantic more salty, atmospheric circulation modified, attack of the killer jellyfish, avalanches reduced, avalanches increased, Baghdad snow, Bahrain underwater, bananas grow, beer shortage, beetle infestation, better beer, big melt faster, billion-dollar research projects, billion homeless, billions face risk, billions of deaths, bird distributions change, bird visitors drop, birds confused, birds return early, birds driven north, bittern boom ends, blackbirds stop singing, blizzards, blue mussels return, blue tongue, brain shrink, bridge collapse, Minneapolis, Britain Siberian, British gardens change, brothel struggle, brown Ireland, bubonic plague, budget increases, Buddhist temple threatened, building collapse, building season extension, bushfires, business opportunities, business risks, butterflies move north, camel deaths, cancer deaths in England, cannibalism, cataracts, caterpillar biomass shift, cave paintings threatened, childhood insomnia, cholera, circumcision in decline, cirrus disappearance, civil unrest, cloud increase, cloud stripping, cockroach migration, coffee threatened, cold climate creatures survive, cold spells, Australia, cold wave, India, computer models, conflict, conflict with Russia, coral bleaching, coral reefs dying, coral reefs grow, coral reefs shrink, cost of trillions, cougar attacks, cradle of civilization threatened, crime increase, crocodile sex, crops devastated, crumbling roads, buildings, sewage systems, cyclones, Australia, cyclones, Myanmar, danger to kids' health, Darfur, death rate increase, U.S., dengue hemorrhagic fever, depression, desert advance, desert retreat, disappearance of coastal cities, diseases move north, Dolomites collapse, ducks and geese decline, dust bowl in the Corn Belt, early marriages, early spring, earlier pollen season, earth biodiversity crisis, earth light dimming, earth lopsided, earth melting, earth morbid fever, earth on fast track, earth slowing down, earth spins faster, earth to explode, earth upside down, earth wobbling, earthquakes, El Nino intensification, erosion, emerging infections, encephalitis, English villages lost, equality threatened, Europe simultaneously baking and freezing, eutrophication, evolution accelerating, extinctions, human, civilization, logic, Inuit, smallest butterfly, cod, ladybirds, pikas, polar bears, gorillas, walrus, whales, frogs, toads, plants, salmon, trout, wildflowers, woodlice, penguins, a million species, half of all animal and plant species, mountain species, not polar bears, barrier reef, leeches. Extreme changes to California, fading fall foliage, fainting, famine, farmers go under, fashion disaster, fever, fur cone bonanza, fish catches drop, fish downsize, fish catches rise, fish deaf, fish get lost, fish sex change, fish stocks decline, 5 million illnesses, flesh-eating disease, flood patterns change, floods, floods of beaches and cities, flood of migrants, Florida economic decline, flowers in peril, food poisoning, food prices soar, food security threat, footpath erosion, forest decline, forest expansion, frog with extra heads, frostbite, frost damage increased, frosts, fungi invasion, Garden of Eden wilts, genetic diversity decline, gene pool slashed, giant oysters invade, giant pythons invade, giant squid migrate, gingerbread houses collapse, glacial earthquakes, glacial retreat, glacial growth, glacier wrapped, global cooling, global dimming, glowing clouds, golf masters wrecked, grasslands wetter, Great Barrier Reef 95% dead, Great Lakes drop, greening of the north, gray whales lose weight, Gulf Stream failure, hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, harmful algae, harvest increase, harvest shrinkage, hay fever epidemic, health of children harmed, heart disease, heart attacks and strokes, Australia, heat waves, hibernation affected, hibernation ends too soon, hibernation ends too late, HIV epidemic, HIV increasing, homeless 50 million, hornets, human development faces unprecedented reversal, human fertility reduced, human health improvement, hurricanes increasing, hurricanes decreasing, hydropower problems, hypothermia deaths, ice sheet growth, ice sheet shrinkage, ice shelf collapse, inclement weather, India drowning, infrastructure failure, Canada, infectious diseases, inflation in China, insect explosion, Inuit displacement, Inuit poisoned, invasion of cats, invasion of herons, invasion of jellyfish, invasion of midges, island disappears, islands sinking, insurance increases, itchier poison ivy, jets fall from sky, jet stream drifts north, kidney stones, kitten boom, krill decline, lake and stream productivity decline, lake empties, lake shrinking and growing, landslides, lawsuits increase, Loch Ness monster dead, lush growth in rainforests, malaria, mammoth dung melt, maple production advanced, maple syrup shortage, marine diseases, marine food chain decimated, Mediterranean rises, megacryometeors, melanoma, methane emissions from plants, methane burps, methane runaway, melting permafrost, Middle Kingdom convulses, migration, migration difficult, birds, microbes to decompose soil carbon more rapidly, minorities hit, monkeys on the move, Mont Blanc grows, monuments imperiled, moose dying, more bad air days, more raw sewage, mortality increased, mountain, Everest, shrinking, mountains break up, mountains melting, mountains taller, mortality lower, narwhals at risk, national security implications, natural disasters quadruple, new islands, next ice age, NFL threatened, Nile Delta damaged, noctilucent clouds, oaks dying, oaks move north, ocean acidification, ocean deserts expand, ocean waves speed up, opera house to be destroyed, outdoor hockey threatened, ozone repair slowed, ozone rise, Pacific dead zone, pest outbreaks, pest increase, phenology shifts, plankton blooms, plankton destabilized, plankton loss, plant viruses, plants march north, polar bears aggressive, polar bears cannibalistic, polar bears drowning, polar bears starve, popcorn rise, porpoise astray, psychiatric illness, puffin decline, railroad tracks deformed, rainfall increase, rape wave, refugees, release of ancient frozen viruses, resorts disappear, rice threatened, rice yields crash, river flow impacted, rivers raised, roads wear out, robins rampant, rocky peaks crack apart, roof of the world, a desert, Ross River disease, ruins ruined. Salinity reduction, salinity increased, salmonella, satellites accelerate, school closures. Sea level rise faster, seals mating more, sewer bills rise, severe thunderstorms. Tuatara sex change, sharks attacking, sharks booming, sharks moving north. Sheep shrink, shop closures, short-nosed dogs endangered, shrinking ponds, shrinking shrine, ski resorts threatened, skin cancer, slow death, smaller brains, smog, snowfall increase, snowfall reduction, societal collapse, songbirds change eating habits, sour grapes, space problems, spiders invade Scotland, squid aggressive giants, squid population explosion, squirrels reproduce earlier, storms wetter, storm water drain stressed, street crime to increase, suicide, swordfish in the Baltic, tectonic plate movement, teenage drinking, terrorism, threat to peace, ticks move northward, Sweden, tornado outbreak, tourism decrease, tourism increase, trade barriers, trade winds weakened, transportation threatened, tree foliage increase, UK, tree growth slowed, trees could return to Antarctic, trees in trouble, trees less colorful, trees more colorful, trees lush, tropics expansion, tropopause raised, truffle shortages, turtles crash, turtles lay earlier, vampire moths, Venice flooded, volcanic eruptions, walrus pups orphaned, walrus stampede, wars over water, wars sparked, wars threaten billions, water bills double, water supply unreliability, water scarcity, 20% of increase, water stress, weather out of its mind, weather patterns awry, weeds, West Nile fever, whales move north, wheat yields crushed in Australia, wildfires, wind shift, wind reduced, wine, harm to Australian industry, wine industry damage, California, wine industry disaster, U.S., wine, more English, wine, German boon, wine, no more French, wine passé, Napa, winters in Britain colder, winter in Britain dead, witchcraft executions, wolves eat more moose, wolves eat less, workers laid off, world at war, world bankruptcy, world in crisis, world in flames, yellow fever. The Envirostatist's agenda, like much of the statist's agenda, is increasingly immune from the popular will. In addition to creating and controlling much of the administrative state, the judiciary can usually be counted on to give the statist's policies legal sanction. Policy becomes the law, and the law must be adhered to. Consequently, meaningful debate is in fact ended, compliance is mandated, and violators are punished. Indeed, the Envirostatist has relied heavily on litigation to achieve his ends. As Case Western Reserve University Law School professor Jonathan Adler has noted, to some environmental activists, litigation is the most important thing the environmental movement has done since the 1970s. Most major federal environmental laws contain so-called citizen suit provisions, which are actually limited to empowering environmental groups to bring lawsuits in the public's name. As a result, environmental citizen suits are now a central element of American environmental law. The Sierra Club confers the William O. Douglas Award, named for one of the most egregiously activist Supreme Court justices ever, on those who have made outstanding use of the legal judicial process to achieve environmental goals. And in 2007, in a case called Massachusetts versus EPA, the Supreme Court delivered the Envirostatist one of his biggest victories. Over the objections of the executive branch, and without support from legislative history, a 5-4 majority of the court, led by Associate Justice John Paul Stevens, ruled that the Clean Air Act covered carbon dioxide and other greenhouse emissions from automobiles. Moreover, while the court did not direct the EPA to regulate the emissions, it left the agency with no real alternative. So 5 justices, trained not as scientists but lawyers, determined that carbon dioxide is a pollutant which the government must regulate. Just like that, the Envirostatist position is now the law. The imposition of restrictive regulations and lawsuits against carbon dioxide polluters will now expand in ways that will resonate throughout the economy and society, resulting from the dishonest application of law and science. In the meantime, the effects of the Envirostatists' agenda continue apace. American society is now threatened by dangerous obstructions to the supply of electricity. Forbes magazine's Mark P. Mills reports that the same policies that have led to supply dislocations and price instability in oil and gas are at work in the provision of electricity. By as early as 2009, our demand for electricity will exceed reliable supply in New England, Texas, and the West, and by 2011, in New York and the Mid-Atlantic region. A failure of a power plant, or a summer afternoon surge in the load, could make for a blackout or brownout. The reason is that most electricity is generated by coal. Anti-coal activists brag that 59 coal-fired plants were canceled in 2007. Nearly 50 more in 29 states are being contested. Adds Mills, nuclear power plants produce 20% of U.S. electricity, but there hasn't been a new nuclear plant started in 3 decades, and licenses are expiring on existing nukes. Opponents are fighting renewal of those licenses. And the future does not look bright. President Obama's Secretary of Energy, Dr. Stephen Chu, a 1997 Nobel laureate in physics, is a global warming advocate openly hostile to the use of coal and a foot dragger on expanding nuclear power. The Envirostatist poses as the defender of clean air, clean water, penguins, seals, polar bears, glaciers, the poor, the third world, and humanity itself. But he is already responsible for the death and impoverishment of tens of millions of human beings in the undeveloped world. Now he has moved on to bigger tasks, imposing his societal designs on a free and prosperous people, dictating their lifestyle, controlling their movement, and breaking their spirit. President Obama's appointment of former Clinton-era EPA Administrator Carol M. Browner as his global warming czar makes clear his intentions. Browner, who was responsible for coordinating the administration's environmental and energy policies, was recently one of 14 leaders of the Socialist International's Commission for a Sustainable World Society. As the Washington Times explains, the commission calls for global governance and says rich countries must shrink their economies to address climate change. It also seeks binding and punitive limits on greenhouse gas emissions. New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman, author of Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, recently expressed his frustration with the slow pace of the Envirostatism agenda by wishing that our government could get its act together and launch a green revolution with the same persistent focus, stick to the same direction that China does through authoritarian means. China? This is the same regime that sends political opponents to re-education camps or worse, and has one of the dirtiest environments on the planet. The Envirostatist declares his allegiance to science and knowledge, when, in fact, his only faith is to his ideology. Now that climate models suggest a slight global cooling, again, his terminology changes from man-made global warming to man-made climate change. Henceforth, Mother Nature's doings will be mankind's responsibility no matter what science reveals. The Envirostatist has declared war on the civil society, and he is impatient. Chapter 9. On Immigration. The statist's argument for comprehensive immigration reform reduces to this. America is a nation of immigrants. The founding and settling of the nation came about because of immigrants who braved dangers to come to this country and risked everything to build the prosperity we enjoy today. Certainly this is true as far as it goes. Of course, to say this is a nation of immigrants is to say every nation is a nation of immigrants. Mexico, the source of most immigrants in the United States today, is a nation of Spanish and other immigrants. The implication is, however, that both legal and illegal immigration, no matter how extensive, is another moral imperative justifying the transformation of the civil society. This is not so. Once again, the Declaration of Independence provides guidance on this issue. It states in relevant part that, to secure these unalienable rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Moreover, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish the government and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Have the governed, American citizens, consented to the current state of legal and illegal immigration in the nation? Do current immigration policies and enforcement practices affect the safety and happiness of the people? The statist insists that, in particular, the 21st century immigrant in the United States is the spiritual heir of the immigrants who helped build the nation. His motives are as noble and his ambitions as honorable as those of the founders. To deny him access to America's bounty and freedom displays an un-American meanness of character and is a renunciation of America's heritage. Even worse, the statist portrays the immigrant as universally more virtuous than the citizen. He is said to aspire to and indeed achieve a higher position of worthiness than the citizen, for he is doing jobs Americans won't do, is a person of faith, and a strong family man. The citizen is said to owe his sustenance to the immigrant, who builds his home, maintains his property, harvests his food, raises his children, goes to war, etc. Therefore, even the illegal immigrant deserves a privileged status in society, in the sense that his lawbreaking is said to be of personal necessity and societal value. Consequently, he must be urged out of the shadows and into the light. He must be celebrated as a role model, and his virtuousness must be rewarded with citizenship. For the conservative, this is a truly odd formulation, since it demeans the citizen and his paramount role in American society. It is the community of citizens who consent to be governed, and for whom the government exists. The principal responsibility of the government is to the citizen. Otherwise, the government ceases to be legitimate. To say that the citizen, who is in fact primarily responsible for the nation's character and the culture to which the alien immigrates, is less valuable to American society than the immigrating alien is nonsensical. No society can withstand the unconditional mass migration of aliens from every corner of the earth. The preservation of the nation's territorial sovereignty and the culture, languages, mores, traditions, and customs that make possible a harmonious community of citizens dictate that citizenship be granted only by the consent of the governed, not by the unilateral actions or demands of the alien, and then only to aliens who will throw off their allegiance to their former nation and society and pledge their allegiance to America. Claremont Institute Senior Fellow and California State University Professor Edward J. Erler, reflecting Aristotle's observation, writes, "A radical change in the character of the citizens would be tantamount to a regime change, just as surely as a revolution in its political principles." The government, therefore, is not only justified, but obligated to qualify immigration to those most likely to contribute to the well-being of the civil society, and to create the conditions in which aliens of differing backgrounds can be absorbed into the American culture. In 1965, as part of the Great Society, the statist did, in fact, lay the foundation for radically altering the character of American society and the relationship of the governed to their government. When he signed the Hart-Celler Act, President Lyndon Johnson said, "This bill that we will sign today is not a revolutionary bill. It does not affect the lives of millions. It will not reshape the structure of our daily lives, or really add importantly to either our wealth or our power. And during the debate over the bill on the floor of the Senate, Senator Ted Kennedy claimed, "First, our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually." Under the proposed bill, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same. Secondly, the ethnic mix of this country will not be upset. Contrary to the charges in some quarters, the bill will not inundate America with immigrants from any one country or area, or the most populated and economically deprived nations of Africa and Asia. Johnson, Kennedy, and the other statists were wrong, and it is hard to believe they were not intentionally deceiving the public. In 1964, Republican vice presidential candidate Representative William Miller well understood the overall increase in immigration that would result from the 1965 Act. "We estimate that if the president gets his way, and the current immigration laws are repealed," he said, "the number of immigrants next year will increase threefold, and in subsequent years will increase even more." The bill abolished the decades-old policy of national quotas, which was said to be discriminatory because it favored immigrants from Europe, especially the United Kingdom, Ireland, and Germany, over the Third World. Thus, it increased immigration levels from each hemisphere, setting in motion a substantial increase in immigration from Latin America, Asia, and Africa, to the detriment of previously favored aliens from Europe. The bill also introduced, for the first time, a system of chain migration, which, as the Center for Immigration Studies notes, gave higher preference to the relatives of American citizens and permanent resident aliens than to applicants with special job skills. Those who receive preference for admission include unmarried adult sons and daughters of United States citizens, spouses and children, and unmarried sons and daughters of permanent resident aliens, married children of United States citizens, and brothers and sisters of United States citizens over the age of 21. Consequently, the historical basis for making immigration decisions was radically altered. The emphasis would no longer be on the preservation of American society and the consent of the governed. Now, aliens themselves would decide who comes to the United States through family reunification. With the elimination of national quotas and the imposition of chain migration, aliens immigrating to the United States were poorer, less educated, and less skilled than those who had preceded them, a pattern that continues to this day. The Manhattan Institute's Stephen Malanga writes that the first great migration 100 years ago attracted Jewish tailors and seamstresses who helped create New York's garment industry, Italian stonemasons and bricklayers who helped build some of our greatest buildings, German merchants, shopkeepers, and artisans, all of whom brought important skills with them that fit easily into the American economy. Those waves of immigrants helped supercharge the workforce at a time when the country was going through a transformative economic expansion that craved new workers, especially in cities. Moreover, as a result of the 1965 law, legal immigration soared from 2.5 million in the 1950s to 4.5 million in the 1970s to 7.3 million in the 1980s to about 10 million in the 1990s. Furthermore, as political and economic circumstances in the Third World deteriorated, particularly in Mexico and other parts of Latin America, Asia, and Africa, the egalitarian nature of the 1965 law and the growing American welfare state also encouraged the unprecedented and illegal migration of millions of additional destitute and uneducated aliens to the United States. So, too, did the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act's grant of one-time amnesty to about 3 million illegal aliens, which was conditioned on border security and immigration enforcement that never materialized under subsequent administrations. The late author Theodore White, who was no conservative, wrote that The Immigration Act of 1965 changed all previous patterns, and in so doing, probably changed the future of America. It was noble, revolutionary, and probably the most thoughtless of the many acts of the Great Society.